Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and I'm here with my wife and co-host Sheridan Gold. And I'm Diana Grayer. Tonight, we're taking a trip through the year of 2010. So we're going to highlight some segments of our shows.
Living Proof is a show about relationships. We have parents and lovers and kids all sharing their lives and their relationships. Speaking of relationships, just to let everyone in the listening audience know a little tidbit. Diana and I just celebrated our 33rd anniversary.
That's right. 33 years.
So we are living proof that long-term relationships do exist, and they can still be fun, too.
That's right, honey. Listen, we're thinking about having a show soon on long-term relationships. So if you're out there and you're listening or you know of anyone who's a long-term in a long-term relationship, please, please contact us because we will be getting a show together. Contact us at livingproof@outbeatradio.org.
And this is a good time to plug our website. Our whole Outbeat team is on outbeatradio.org if you want to look us up on the web. Jeff designed a beautiful website for us. So we'd like to begin with our review of the year with our January show. Oh, we have news, right? Sorry. January show to begin in a minute, but first, news and events with Outbeat member Greg Moralia.
Good evening. This is your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, December 5th, 2010. I'm Greg Moralia. Gay groups in Kenya are concerned after the country's president said gays and lesbians should be arrested. Raila Odinga made the remarks at a rally last Sunday in the Nairobi slum of Kibera. He said that men and women caught in the middle of gay and lesbian sex would be detained. The country's largest LGBT group, Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Kenya, said it had received frightened phone calls from LGBT and HIV-positive people who feared they would be taken into custody when collecting their HIV medication. Kenya punishes homosexuality for up to 14 years in jail. And here in the United States, repeal of the Defense Department's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy continued to take some lumps on Capitol Hill Thursday and Friday as some GOP congressional leaders sought at least to delay the process. Defense Secretary Robert Gates urged the Senate's Armed Services Committee to support removal of the ban on open service for gays and lesbians, claiming that congressional foot-dragging could lead to a more disruptive and damaging judicial fiat if the courts overturn the 1993 law. Senator John McCain has been the most vocal opponent of the repeal, claiming that changing the law during a time of war would be disruptive and dangerous. Although Gates stressed that a 10-month survey released November 30th of more than 115,000 troops showed that 70% believe open service by gays will have few negative effects, McCain questioned how representative that number is since only 28% of some 400,000 questionnaires were returned. And here in California, a federal appeals court panel will hear arguments Monday on Proposition 8, which now bans same-sex marriage in California. The three-judge panel for the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals was named last week and will hear the oral arguments during a two-hour hearing scheduled for tomorrow. Two of the three judges, Michael Hawkins and Stephen Reinhart, were appointed by Democrats and are viewed as liberal, leading many to speculate that the panel will uphold the lower court's finding that Prop 8 should be scrapped. The third judge, N. Randy Smith, was appointed by George W. Bush and served as chair of the Idaho Republican Party in the 90s. And here locally, a gay Sonoma County couple is recovering from their kidney transplant surgery. It was their transplant surgery because Joseph Jacobs donated his kidney to his husband, Larry Burke. On Tuesday, November 23rd at 7:30, the couple underwent their surgeries at UCSF, and Larry's new kidney started working right away. They are now recuperating at their home in Sonoma, surrounded by family and friends. The couple has been together for 22 years. They were finally married legally on June 17, 2008, during those few loophole months when same-sex marriages were legal in California. Larry experienced a heart episode 2 days after they were married and was hospitalized for 10 days. Their marriage license came in handy when they were confronted with an unsympathetic night nurse who tried to make Joseph leave after visiting hours. On August 25, 2006, Larry's kidneys failed. Dialysis and an organ transplant were the only options. Larry's life would now consist of few physical activities, a very restricted diet, anemia, continual blood work, cramping, and bloody bandages. Larry would need to lose a substantial amount of extra weight before he could even be placed on a donor list. He would lose the weight, but the new weight would be on. The average wait for a cadaver donor in Northern California is 5 years. While the couple was attending a seminar at the Stanford Kidney Transplant Clinic, Joseph asked a nurse if he could be tested to see if he was a match. By the end of the day, Joseph learned that he was an exact match for his husband. The odds of such an occurrence is approximately 1 in 10,000. Joseph couldn't resist telling Larry the same day. 2 days before Thanksgiving, Joseph and Larry were prepped for surgery at the same time. Joseph went under the knife first to have his kidney removed, and when his surgeon reached the optimum point for removal, he signaled the second surgeon to start Larry's procedure. The surgeon spliced Joseph's healthy kidney onto Larry's failed organ. "Everything went well and is going well and will continue to go well," wrote Joseph in an email 3 days after his surgery. "We both have a lot to be grateful for, and we are both especially grateful to all who have offered continued prayers and good wishes." And here's this week's community calendar. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus will perform a soulful celebration, its 10th annual holiday concert benefiting Face to Face, Sonoma County's AIDS Network, on December 11th at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa. Seats for the concert are $20 in advance and $25 at the door. And if you have an event you would like to share with our listeners, you can tell us about it on our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
Welcome back to Living Proof. If you've just joined us, we're reviewing our 2010 programs. So we'd like to begin with the review of our January show, when we had Celeste Star Austin and Mina Newman on. In this segment, they are talking about Mina's son and how he stood up for her. Okay, here's January.
You know, I'm remembering something you shared with me about when your oldest son was living in another state and was at Yosemite, was living in Florida, and went to church. You know, a very conservative, a very punitive, you know, and they were, you know, talking, you know, about gay people and talking about, you know, that sin and damnation and that, how he.
Yeah, because
he left. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, "I can't hear this," you know, and stood up. Mm-hmm. You know, because my mother's gay.
Mm-hmm. He did. He said they were referring to lesbians and gays, bisexuals and transgenders as an abomination. And Yosemite said he was just outraged and actually spoke to my aunt about that, how he felt about the minister at that church mm-hmm. referring to gays as an abomination. And he said, and then he wanted to meet with the minister. And I think he met with the minister and told the minister that his mother was a lesbian and that he wouldn't be coming back to the church. Mm-hmm. So it was quite outspoken around the issue, even though they haven't really talked much to me directly about my lifestyle.
Right.
Well we're going to have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying sometimes action speaks louder. So that's
uh-huh.
Yeah,
yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful story to go out on.
Wow. To have a child stand up for you. What amazing, how extraordinary that was. Wow.
In February, we spoke with Dr. Frances Fuchs, and she discussed her book, Working It Out. In this snippet, she reads about relationships to yourself and to your partner.
We do have to ask you for your last words, and I think there was something you wanted to read out of your book.
Yes, I wanted to read a piece that I wrote that I put in the front piece of the book that says something about my belief. We are shaped by our perceptions, by the story we tell ourselves over and over about real or imagined slights and injustices in our lives. We collect incidents that support our story. Our minds seek to make sense of our feelings, and we create that story from imperfect perceptions and projections, that are only part of the whole picture. Remember, your relationship is much more than the story you tell yourself about it. You can be relieved of the pain of resentment and wounding by opening your vision wider to include compassion for your own and others' human frailties and limitations. If you look at your partner through a wider lens of experience and empathy, you may see her value and strengths in balance with her limitations. From this place, you can make clear choices, including the choice to change yourself. If you feel stuck, be open to a slight shift in perspective, an opening of the lens of perception, or a change in the storyline.
It's interesting hearing different guests throughout the year, hearing their different voices. And so Dr. Frances Fuchs, talking about changing the storyline, some powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. By the way, she is having a group for lesbians starting up. If anybody wants to get in touch with her, look her up. 8-week group or something like that, that I got over the email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, changing the perception. So it's all about being in partnership and the relationship, and that leads to the next show, which is in April. We were in studio, just the two of us, Cher and myself, and it was a really wonderful show that we put together discussing spring cleaning. And we compared cleaning rooms in a house to different aspects of cleaning or renewing our relationships or, you know, renewing relationships. In this segment, you're going to hear, we're talking about the bathroom.
The third thing that we want to talk about is a room in the house that nobody really likes to clean very much, and that's the bathroom. The yucky bathroom. Nobody enjoys cleaning a bathroom, but it has to be done, right? I mean, you have stains like in the toilet. If you never clean the toilet, the stains just kind of build up. So...
Yeah,
right?
You know about that, huh, Cher?
Di's always on my case, but I don't have time to clean a toilet.
See, the one thing about, if you switch this over to the relationship side, you're right. I don't mind. I love the clean bathroom, and I do the Pumas if I need to.
I mean, I love
the
clean
hard
bathroom
water
too.
Thing, you know. Right. But anyways, as far as the relationship, you know it's there. You can see
right.
The stains, like Cher was saying. Stuff you know is there, but can't bring up. And you have a hard time dealing with it. It's the waste that's infecting your growth and your happiness. That's why we're talking about this topic tonight. You know, as a therapist, I see so much, you know, conflict and couples not doing the work that they need to do because of these things. So we thought it would be a really important idea to do this spring cleaning bit. So it's really important because it affects your growth and your happiness. And it doesn't go away, as you know. It doesn't go away, the stains, unless you get the scrubber out and start cleaning it.
Like effort. Some kind of effort.
Yeah. So like we're talking about is remove the stains and the spots in the mirror. Because, you know, you look in the mirror every day and they're there, the spots. So
sometimes you don't see the spots, though.
Okay, sure, we're not going to want to discuss our relationship on this. Okay, so...
But just because you don't see them doesn't mean it's there. It's not there.
Right.
And so if you, in 50% of the partnership, know that there's something there that needs to be, you know, dealt with,
right.
At least be open to your partner and listen.
Right, good. And if you need help, you know, you can always reach out and get a therapist. You know, I am a therapist, but I'm not saying this because I'm a therapist. It's because I know that there's help there that you can get. And, you know, something like journaling would be easy. Grab a journal. Start writing about what's going on in the relationship, the stuff that you see that you're not talking about. Go to workshops. You have to do something for things to change. You have to make an effort. And I believe in this so dearly. It's really a passionate of mine to work with couples working on these issues. So be brave and sit down and have a discussion about the obvious, the stains, the water spots.
So you can just say to your partner, you know, look, honey, it's time for us to explore the hard areas in our relationship. And then I want to know what you see. I want to tell you what I see.
Now, that might be scary for somebody to do that, but seriously, just take a deep breath and try. I mean, your partner loves you, and you love her or him, so I know that they'll listen. And then you could continue, you know, and you could say, you know, we both deserve to be happy on this journey together, and we need to be honest and open with one another. I'm not doing you or me any favors by keeping this inside. So really, notice and label. And then together you can see if you can change something. You really have to be brave to know yourself.
Wow. Listening to that snippet from our April show made us kind of chuckle about...
Here in studio.
Jeff and Diana and myself, we're kind of chuckling about the whole bathroom, not seeing the spots in the relationship.
And not wanting to air out dirty laundry stuff on air. But it's wonderful to do that. It's really important to do
that. It is. It's really important. I mean, just this last week, I sat down with you guys and over dinner, and you pointed out some spots on the mirror for me that I wasn't seeing. So it's a great message to put out there all the time.
Yeah, especially if you decide to get the Windex and clean the spots versus, you know, look in the mirror with the spots and not see the spots. You know, it's good. You know, it's good to take... It's good to take action, and we just wanted to remind everyone that's listening that if you like what you're hearing, you can hear our whole show, the whole spring cleaning show, on our website at livingproof@outbeatradio.org, and actually all our shows are there. But if you want to get this one in particular about spring cleaning and hear a little bit more of our wisdom about relationships, go online and check it out.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beneficial. And just listening to just that segment was, you know, really important and enlightening again for us. And also funny. So I'm going to move on to, in this next clip, I'm sharing a metaphor regarding obstacles. And metaphors are really important to me in my practice. I'm a visual person, and sometimes it helps people to get a different perspective or different learning about how they see themselves or their relationships. So you get a sense of what that is in this clip on the metaphors, and it's about the same show around the spring cleaning. So take a listen, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
I just want to just give a metaphor that I like to use, share a metaphor, because I love using metaphors as a way of painting a picture for people. So think of a boulder, this whole process that you're going to be working towards. Imagine a boulder sitting on the back of your shoulder, at the base of your neck, and there's just this weight, and that's what it feels like when you don't engage in your relationship or you don't be authentic in your life. It just feels like this weight, like something is weighing you down. You're not really experiencing or in your life the way you want to. So if you could think of grabbing this boulder and lifting it off of your shoulders and placing it on the side. And if you feel like you're carrying the weight of your partner and you don't want to do that anymore, pass it on over to your partner. Okay? So just imagine that weight is off of you because you are talking about your wall and you're talking about the things on your list. You are spring cleaning your relationship. Mm-hmm. And you're going to feel so much freer and so much lighter.
Wow. Can you feel the weight of that boulder? I mean, imagine releasing the boulder. I mean, that's what's the metaphor. I mean, can you feel that? Can you see the person bent over, almost touching the ground, chin touching the ground, and this weight? And just imagine just releasing the weight.
You know, the situation that came to mind when I just reheard that clip from the April show was the coming out, just the act of coming out. For me, that was the boulder that was weighing me down, nose touching the earth as I was walking along. And, you know, it's just so, you're just, everyone says, oh, it's a million Brits off my shoulder. Well, it's a big, huge boulder off your back, too, you know.
Well said, Jeff. I mean, yeah, really well said. I mean, so visual. I mean, you can see that.
mm-hmm. you can, one thing about metaphors, you can see it visually and you can feel it in your body.
Yep. That's right.
And just listening and watching you in the studio, Jeff, I even saw you, you know, and you're reminiscent of that, how you felt, you feel so much lighter now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Jerry, you were going to say?
No. I had some memories come up for me also about the boulder, but nothing as big as coming out. So it was probably just a couple little rocks on my shoulder compared to a boulder on Jeff's back. So, no.
Well, mm-hmm. you can share.
Well, I just think it's important to not let the rocks pile up to get to be the boulder. Uh-huh. You know, if you
Good
just
point.
Take the rocks off as they come along. Like, for example, I'm not trying to air dirty laundry, but just as an example, just today, you did something, Diana, that really bugged me. And instead of me holding on to it, I told you about it. And it was great because then once I told you about it,
okay,
I didn't have to hold on to it anymore. I put it in your lap.
Okay, yeah, you did. And what did I do today? And you were surprised. But no, I'm really not.
No, you came and apologized, and it was so sweet. And then it's over with, you know? If I felt seen and heard and all that stuff. And I mean, after 33 years, it still happens in relationships. Mm-hmm. There's no way that you're going to live with somebody for that long and not have little stumbles, you know?
Right.
But it's how you pick yourself up and continue on going. And it was... It's terrific.
Great. That's great, Sherry. You took care of the rock, right?
Yeah.
And you just put it on my back.
Yeah.
I did.
But it's so great to see you two practicing what you tell everyone every month here.
Yeah.
You know, you'd say communication is the key.
Yeah.
Every single month I hear that phrase in some form, and here you go saying it, that it happened between you guys today. So you are practicing what you preach, which is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, just a few words about that metaphor and something to remind you of how to go through your life. So, as you go through your life, pay attention to how you affect it and take action. And that's what this is all about. When you feel the rock, when you feel the boulders, you know, starting to build, do something. Take action. Say something. Let me see. What else would I want to say about that? You want to say something, Jeff? Go ahead.
No. Let's move on to our May show.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So our May show, we featured lesbian mothers in honor of Mother's Day. We had three marvelous mothers join us in studio, Lilith Rogers, Shira, and Robin Gale, and her son August. So here they are with their advice to other parents.
I want to ask you this final question. As you think about your experience being mothers and a son, you can share too. What advice or support you can offer to the women, to the children, August, who are listening, that, you know, whatever you feel that you can offer?
I saw your written question, and I really, really thought about it. And I thought about all the difficulties and the messes that I've had in my life. And I kept going back to the same thing. And I think it is what has kept the lines of communication open between me and my four children, and what has let us grow and mature and love over the years. And that is that I never, ever denied anything that was true. And I never, ever lied to them. And it was real, real difficult not to lie. Believe me. Real difficult.
Thank you.
That takes a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm. That does. What I was thinking to advise any mother is to love your children. Just love them, you know. And that was one thing that I always had for August when he was little, was I really loved him. And I know his daddy really loved him as well. So that no matter what other kinds of things happened, I know he had a strong basis in that, you know, and that, you know, and your poem, Lilith, was so wonderful, that tenderness, because I remember doing that, you know, kissing him goodnight when he was asleep sometimes. That is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that kind of thing sometimes. Thank you.
I never felt unloved, just for the record. Never once.
Oh, you guys are just too sweet.
August, do you have any advice for moms out there?
keep it real. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think Shira maybe touched on just being honest and my mom said, love your kids, and that's probably, those are probably the two most important things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things Shira and I talked about a while back when we were having dinner about this show was that our daughters, at least one of my daughters, and I don't know how many of hers, one at least, had said, well, we want to go off and live with our fathers. And so I let Eliza do that. I mean, she actually, you know, in her early teens was adamant that she didn't like living with me. She needed to go be with her dad. And then in her early 20s, she said to me, why did you make me go live with my dad? I hated that. It was awful. Now look at this, all this post, you know, now she's been going to a therapist and she says she has post-traumatic stress from living with him and all this sort of thing. And so what I learned from that is don't take what they say to you at that time period. Don't let that be the thing that lets you make the decision. You know, your kids are going to rebel against you, that they should. But at the same time, you have to really be firm in your loving and in your honesty and realize what's the best thing for them and to do what you can to make the situation work for all of you.
Mm, boy.
And then to forgive yourself when you make mistakes, because mm-hmm. you're going to.
That's big.
That is huge. You guys, thank you so much for your advice. That was a nice show in May, speaking with those three moms. I remember listening to the snippet right now. I remembered, I think it was Robin emailed us later and said the show was so amazing for her and her relationship with her son. They went out to dinner after the show and had the best talk they'd had in a long, long, long time. Being on the show is pretty special. It really helps solidify some of the things that maybe, some little things that people were thinking, and then they get to voice them on air. Just put it out there. If there's anybody here that would out there that would like to be on our show, please give us a. Drop us an email, livingproof at outbeatradio.org, and come and tell us your story, share your story with our community, because that's what Living Proof is for. That's what Outbeat Radio is for, is to share our stories with you. Mm-hmm. So we like to do, in May, we like to do Mother's Day shows, so we're always looking for moms.
I can remember, I was engineering for that May show, and I can remember just the atmosphere in the studio. And, you know, I do this show, I engineer for you guys, and then I have my own show on the third Sunday, so I'm in the studio a lot. And it's not very often that I leave here with a feeling of just utter joy and, you know, just a renewed hope in the human being and in how people treat each other. And so it's great that you said what Robin wrote you in that email afterwards, because I can still see in my mind's eye the energy and the aura that was around in the studio that night that supported what happened after the show. At their dinner. It was just obvious that it was going to be an extremely special night. So there's not too many shows that I've walked away from feeling like that. There's been a few, you know. We create magic in here every once in a while. But that was a really special show.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it was nice to receive that email. And I think she said it was like the first time that they've ever sat down that long and talked so deeply together. So it was beautiful. Mothers out there, we need you. We want you to tell your story. So call us.
Or
email us.
You can call it 584-2020 also.
Yep, give us a call during the music break.
Yeah,
we'll get you scheduled for 2011.
That's right. We're looking for guests for 2011 as we speak. Our January blurb is due yesterday, so if you guys want to be on our January show, give us a call. Well, we're gonna break for music, and just to let you know that in July we played one of
my and Diana's favorite songs of all time. It came out in the 70s by Linda Tillery. It's called Freedom Time. We'd like to leave you with that and see you in about 3 minutes.
Support for Outbeat Salon on KRCB-FM comes from members and from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of parents, family, and friends of lesbians, gays, transgender, and intersex persons. The Santa Rosa support group meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 1-866-350-2462 or on the web at pflag-nb.org. You're listening to KRCB-FM Santa Rosa and Outbeat Radio. The time is currently 8:33.
Searching the shopping mall for a gift for that person who already has everything? Hi, this is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia, and I've got the perfect gift idea for you. Join Outbeat Radio's Season of Giving program and make a donation in the name of that special someone to a deserving nonprofit organization. It's the perfect gift that gives so much more. Tell us about your donation, and Jeff Basham and I will read your holiday greeting on the air during Outbeat Now at 8 p.m. on Sunday, December 26th. All you have to do is go to the Outbeat Radio website at www.outbeatradio.com and fill out the form. You won't have to fight for a parking place or wait in a single line, I promise. It's Outbeat Radio's Season of Giving, only here on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa.
Welcome back to Living Proof. If you've just joined us, we're reviewing our 2010 programs. So you were listening to Living Proof. Linda Tillery singing Freedom Time off her 1973 Linda Tillery album. And I love when she sings that song. And freedom is an important topic to us as LGBT community. And we love to talk about freedom in July. And I know that we missed June. But we're going to save June for at the end of the show. And we're going to be talking about Pride and the voices of Pride. So don't worry, we're going to have June coming on. But right now we're going to talk a little bit about freedom, because it's really an important part of my life. It's important to me because for three reasons. As a lesbian, as a woman, as an African-American, is really dear to my heart, and is anytime I can talk about these topics, I do. Also, it's important in my work as a psychotherapist and as a professor. We as human beings, we are squelched, and it shows up, and I see it, and I hear it when I listen to clients, when I talk to students, and we, you know, when we're squelched, we lose the essence of who we are, and so we're not free. So my work is about helping people set themselves free. And I'm going to say something here, Cher and Jeff, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but I believe that most of the problems that people have is due to the fact that they're not free. They don't have that, you know, that openness, that luxury of just being who they are authentically. So what do you two think about freedom? What does freedom mean to you? Cher? Why is it important?
I think freedom's important so your essence, your true essence can come out into the world and your light can shine and make life brighter for people, for the world, I guess. I can compare freedom to classical flute. I was raised playing classical flute, started when I was 8, learned all the rules, learned how to read music, learned exactly what the composer said to do and did it. Went to all my private lessons, studied my instrument all the way through college. But I never felt like my heart was never really there. You know, there were so many things that you have to depend on when you play classical music. And then when I was 40, I was introduced to the drums. And I feel like now I'm 55 and I've been playing drums for 15 years and I feel free when I play drums. Freer than I've ever felt playing classical flute.
Uh-huh. What comes up for me, I'm such a visual, so a metaphor comes up. Did metaphor come up to you?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you know, the handcuffs, you know. When you're playing your classical flute, I see you in handcuffs or some kind of bondage. But then what happens is there's a release when you see the drum, when you start to play the drum. There's a freedom. You're unbound anymore, you know? You're not bound. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, what? It kind of makes me sad, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. I mean, other people who play flute, you know, might think is a very freeing thing. Might love it. But it just wasn't that way for me. Yeah.
Exactly. We're individualizing. This is your experience. No one else's. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it. You know, like Jeff shared earlier. I mean, you guys really going deep inside yourselves to feel what you're expressing. It's wonderful. Jeff, what you want to share?
Well, the freedom for me, and I think I said this a couple months ago, but freedom for me definitely brings up the fact that I'm a sister and the freedom that that has brought into my life to express a side of myself that I knew was there at different times in my life, but I never had the avenue to express it in a way that I wasn't considered a total freak. And it's just, it's so freeing to, in a way, to put on that makeup and go out and be a 21st century nun to the community and provide
provide that service and that take care of my community in a way that I've always wanted to, but never been able to. I mean, I've been doing community service and all kinds of different stuff since I was like 12, but that was the same age that I first realized that I was different, that I was gay, that, you know, eventually gave it that name, you know? And so it's like I've finally found not only community service, but I found the correct niche of community service.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for expressing that. Freedom. Let's be free, people. Let's keep fighting.
We're going to move on to August. And in August, we interviewed Ellen Marimont Silver and Robin Bramhill from We Mean It Productions. They are producers of Comedy Night for Pride. And here we are asking their advice because they are in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, we've come to that time. But
how
we
is
wanna,
that possible?
I know. It just went by really fast. But we really want to ask you to, I know there's a lot of couples, a lot of individual people, single people who are listening. So as a couple, and we really respect what you've brought here today, you
Thank
know,
you.
Just your openness. Mm-hmm. So if you can give some advice to people who may be struggling in, you know, and making a commitment to mm-hmm. stay here and struggle in it, you know, what advice can you offer?
I think all the personal work that I've done, whether it's, you know, Buddhist meditation or 12-step or therapy or reading or writing, whatever your path is, I mean, everyone has a million choices available. I think you need to do that and be with that, because otherwise you're not going to find out your own truth, and it's very hard to be in a relationship with someone if you're really not present for yourself at all.
So finding something that you're passionate about and spending time with yourself doing it is what you're saying.
But I'm talking about an internal kind of spiritual quest or psychological quest, not just something that you enjoy. I like being in the garden, but it doesn't necessarily bring me to understanding and then willingness to change behaviors, because that's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, that's a tough question. But I feel like I don't really have advice for most people. But I think what I go back to, and the reason I'm still in this relationship, I think, is that I liked the thing that works for me is to remember what about Ellen, what about this relationship is what I cherish, and what would I not give up. And if I can go there when I'm even the most perturbed with this relationship, and I can remember, you know, I love to laugh with her. This is the woman I want to spend the rest of my life laughing with. Mm-hmm. Despite how crazy she's making me right now, then I get there. I get through it.
But I also don't think it's right for everyone. You know, not everyone needs to be in a long-term relationship. Not mm-hmm. everyone will be happy there. I really think we're all so, so different as people. I know people who want to be together for the rest of their lives, and they will never live together. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, it just, yeah, that's why you have to find your own path. And the men I know are a whole other story.
Yeah.
You know, their relationships yeah. are sometimes very different than ours. But so I think we all have to find out who we are within the relationship, and then do our goals match. If
and
my goals
about
match
it.
Hers, talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talk about it. If they don't, it's going to be a huge struggle. And I think that's one thing that we've agreed on again and again, is that we have the same goals for what we want to do together, and that helps.
Yeah, I just listening to you, we have maybe a couple more minutes, so I just want to throw this in. But just listening to you makes me remember and kind of review in my mind about what Diana and I do when we get on each other's nerves. And I think for me, it's just having the freedom to be who I am in the relationship and not being who maybe she wants me to be every second of the day. You know, like I have outside interests of the relationship. And sometimes people, I'm not saying Diana's like this, but sometimes people want you there 100% of the time. Be there for me, kind of like, you know, let's eat together. Let's go to the movies together. Let's, whatever we do, let's make sure it's together. Let's have friends together. And I like to drum, and I like to play music, and I like to do art, and I'm starting to volunteer at a ranch now to help horses.
Mm, cool.
And
she likes to do a lot.
Yeah.
And Diana likes to do other things like write and create and do a lot of soul searching and help other people find their path. And so it's still a work in progress, I'd say, but we're coming to an understanding that in order for me to be 100% present with Diana and be her wife, I have to have some needs fulfilled in myself. I can't give up who I am either.
And well, you can't do it.
society doesn't always accept that. I mean, we really have this, you know, now your union, your souls are united and you never shall part. Mm. You know, geez, you know, sometimes it's healthy to part, people. Yeah. You know? So it takes some space.
The other piece of it is that you can't, I don't know anybody who can get all their needs met from one other person. And so why try and put that pressure on that relationship? Hopefully you like the same things. I want to be with Robin more than she wants to be with me. But it's not totally unbalanced and that's crazy imbalanced. But I can't get all my needs met through her. That would be insane. And she can't through me. So I think that's a pressure that people put on themselves that can make things very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was Robin and Ellen. Great. So if you want to listen to these shows, please go to the website, livingproof@outbeatradio.org. So let's go to September. In September, we had Roger Givings and Daniel Lawton on, and they're a married couple, but they were married to women first, and they both have children with those women that they married. Here's what they said when we asked them for advice.
We always like to ask our guests to give a little advice. So let's say there's somebody listening who is gay in a marriage to a woman. And both of you, just think about this for a second. We'd like to hear from both of you. What advice would you give that person?
I've thought of this before. I have a couple of friends that have been married, or married still, with women, and... you know, I've even told them, you know, you're hurting your wife by doing what you're doing. Even if you're not doing anything sexual with other men, you're not being honest with her about who you really are. And, you know, it's probably going to ruin the marriage. But I don't know how they can do it without coming out and being honest with them. It practically killed me. So they just need to admit it and... Take the consequences.
Thank you. Dan?
I would say that they need to, I would just advise them to come out and let their wife down gently, and they need to walk away and realize that this is how God made them, and they need to live their life to the fullest, and you can't live your life to the fullest being married to a woman.
Mm-hmm. If you're gay.
If you're gay.
So we have to be true to ourselves, and otherwise we die inside and miss out on the life we could be living. We have to listen to our souls more and less of our family and society. So in October, we had two people who did listen to their souls. We had two very important people, Lois and Steve Basham, parents of our very own Jeff Basham, our own engineer, share the stories of how their lives changed once Jeff came out. What would you tell parents if you were talking to a parent who's coming to you because their kid is gay and they don't know what to do? And the kid is being bullied at school. I mean, you both are so strong right now. What if we were to take a snippet and copy it and give it to every parent of a gay youth, what would it say?
Mm-hmm. Just give your child all the love and support you can. Protect them. Don't make them go to school if you feel that that's where they're being harassed and it's making their life a living hell. It's not worth it to miss a few days' education to have the mental health of your child destroyed. I mean, it comes down to you want them to be around for the rest of your life and be able to watch them grow up. And if they're being bullied and harassed, then take it to the extreme, hire a lawyer, call the police, call the principal, call the call the superintendent, go to your board of supervisors, make it an issue. Because until somebody does it to the extent of even filing a class action suit and getting making it a hate crime, it's just got to be taken to that level before the schools are going to take it seriously. and actually treat the bullies as the disruption that they are to everybody. You know, I mean, not, and it's because there's other kids out there that would rather tell the bullies to knock it off, but they're afraid of retaliation themselves. There's a lot of good kids out there. The bullies are a minority, even amongst the gay kids. But until somebody steps up and gives them some adult support, they're not going to fight the system.
Lois, you want to add? Thank you for that, Steve. Lois, what do
you I think that any parent that is, you know, has a child come to them and say that they're gay, at that point, I cannot see that changing anybody's love for your child. If you loved your child before that, that child is the exact same person that they were 5 minutes before they told you that. Mm-hmm. And if you love them at that point, you need to love them and support them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, give them the confidence to be who they are, because that is who they are. They're not choosing to be that way. They definitely, it is something, you know, it's in their genetics, just like my boys were, blonde, blue eyes and blonde hair and gay. And the other one had, brown eyes and dark hair and straight. And they are just who they are, and you need to allow them to be the who they are.
How did you guys get to be this open? Mm-hmm. Who are you people?
Well, you know, I think maybe growing up in the 60s had something to do with it. You know, it was just being able to be open and free about who we were at that age, without a lot of parental resentment or retaliation. You know, I mean, it's... but raising two other kids, we already had some experience at it, and so it was easier for us to accept Jeffrey being gay and just knowing that unconditional love is part of the equation, you know, and it's sexuality isn't going to change that, and a good parent or a loving parent shouldn't or wouldn't let that happen, because it's, you know... It's good to get hugs from your kids no matter what sexuality they are.
I think it's really important that that all the parents and everybody out there, what we need to do is we need to make gay normal. And gay being gay is normal. I love to say to a straight person that is saying, you know, that it is a choice, I love to say, so why did you choose to be straight? Well, of course they say, oh, well, love that. I didn't choose. I just am. And it's the exact same thing for a gay person. They just are the same way because it's genetic, and that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing right now, it's just, they also say, you know, well, I don't go around having rallies or parades because I'm straight. Well, it's a civil rights movement at this point, and women would not be voting if there hadn't have been parades and protests, and there wouldn't be interracial marriage. There wouldn't be any of the things that there has been civil rights movements for, and that's just what this is.
Wow, thank you guys so much for re-airing that portion of my parents' interview. That was a special night, so thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Like we promised, we're going to end the show tonight with Voices of Pride, our June show. So we want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we want to remind you that you too can be living proof that you can be healthier and happier in your relationships if you speak your truth and let people see the essence of who you really are, because you matter. Good night.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl.
All right. Care to say anything, sir?
That was 30 years ago when they used to have a show.
He's got to
say anything about Pride?
About Pride. Oh, this was just a great, great day. And it's so wonderful to see everybody here. And thank you, Mark Prell, for all you do for Sonoma County.
Right on. Thank you. So, yeah. So what's your name again?
My name's Linda Forrest.
Linda. Okay. I remember you.
I remember you, too.
I know. You're
the great dancer.
Thank you. I'm getting back.
So today, Guy, what is it about for you being
it's
here today?
It's about loving where I live and happy that they have health pride at a place that I love, and just seeing all these wonderful people I haven't seen in years and years coming together. It just feels like old girls' day.
Wonderful. Did you see the parade at all?
I loved it. It was so cute.
It was so fun. Cute.
And it's so nice. The sisters are here supporting our community, and they're out full force, and we have all these wonderful volunteers. And let's really celebrate, and also let's be conscious of why we're here. We're here to raise political awareness about all the isms and all the inequalities that we have in the world, and let's just pray for peace and all the animals that are affected by the oil spill.
Thank you so much, Linda, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, and who do I have here today?
I am Michael Wilson.
Hi, Michael.
How are you, Chicarica?
Thank you. I'm Diana.
Diana, nice to meet you.
So listen, this is about pride.
Yes.
So what is it? What does this day mean to you?
To me, a celebration of pride is a day where we can come together as a community and celebrate who we are, because unfortunately we live in a world that's rather bigoted and they don't enjoy who we are a lot of times. So it's a day that we can forget about the oppression that we face, and we can just come together and celebrate who we are and how we were created.
Wonderful. So what's the card about?
The card is about the Interfaith Service that is next Sunday. It is at the Universalist Unitarian Church in Santa Rosa. It's going to be at 7 p.m. People of all faiths are invited. Gay and straight people are invited. And I even have some atheists that are coming to an interfaith service. So I'm very excited.
Oh, really? How do you know that?
They told me.
Oh, really?
I'm like, well, what faith persuasion are you? And they're like, well, we're atheists. I'm like, well, you should come anyway. And they said they would.
Right on. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Bye-bye.
Hello. We're with Roth. And you're with?
TLC, Child and Family Services. And we're adoption foster care agency. And I was saying to you, Diana, as I was driving out here, I was weeping just with joy, thinking, like, in the 18 years I've been doing this, how it's changed, how gay families are adopting now. And when I started, that wasn't a possibility. And here we are. And it's just, I was just so excited to be here.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice to have you out here to represent, you know?
And a lot of people coming up and talking with us. And I think some people still don't realize. These two men who just came up, they said, well, does sexual orientation make a difference?
What? Really?
Huh. No, that's why we're here.
So, Rolf, how can people, if they're interested in adopting or being foster parent, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, our office is in Sebastopol. They can call me. Shall I give you the phone number?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 829. Oh, no, that's my home phone. 873.
You don't want to do that. Okay.
No, it's 823-7300. And I'm at extension 220. I'd like people to know there's all sorts of ages of children from 0 to 18. There's teenagers that really want homes and are looking for families, and people don't want to adopt teenagers. And you know, we adopted a teenager. I mean, they want families. And so there's lots of kids. There's 120-some thousand kids in America that still need adoptive homes.
Wow.
And ages, there's, you know, we have many older people in their 60s who are adopting teenagers. Not many, not enough, but we have had people that old who say, I want to give this child a permanent home.
Mm-hmm. So give that number again so people can know how to get in touch
with
you.
823-7300, extension 220.
Great, and ask for...